Record to the cloud. Okay, so we are recording now, with your permission. So the first thing I wanted to get from you is just kind of a general idea of what got you into HR.
Sure. So I am a graduate of Missouri State, a proud graduate, might I say. Back then, though, it was Southwest Missouri, so it's still hard for me to change to most state, but I'm getting there. But originally started out with the intent of going into accounting. And after a meeting with one of my really great advisors, we quickly discovered that accounting really wasn't my gig. And she had led me and steered me towards the HR route. So I give credit to my advisor back at Mo State, how many ever years ago, and it's been a great career ever since.
Awesome. Go Bears.
Yes, go Bears.
What are you doing now?
So I've changed quite a bit throughout the course of my career. So as of Tuesday, I started a new position as Vice President of People at a company called Aspire Software. So they have built an amazing business software management program for the landscaping industry and looking to really grow and elevate that platform, not only amongst the landscaping industry, but other industries as well, other verticals.
And where were you directly, you know, before Tuesday?
Yeah, so prior to Tuesday, and still a little bit, just because things don't turn off like a dime, but so I started an independent consulting company back in 2006 and ran that organization through Tuesday, and still am running it just because I have some clients that are just hanging on and really don't want to leave, even though I'm kind of have to cut the umbilical cord. But it was a phenomenal opportunity for me and worked out well with my timing and life and career, and focus more on the small to mid-sized client base that either did not have an HR department or had, you know, maybe someone that was there that kind of knew a little bit about HR, but really didn't have that expertise. So I came in and did what I did best. So that allowed them time to do what they did best and not have to focus on the HR function as far as operations. And then we'd work more on developmental pieces.
And if you could explain what a job in HR looks like generally. So let's start pretty high level. What could a person generally expect?
Sure. So from a high level, from like where I am today, it's really all about strategy. And certainly we have the legal aspect that we have to take care of and more of those administrative type tasks that need to be done. But that's pretty smooth running. So at a high level, the focus needs to be certainly at the table. We talk about that quite a bit at being at the leadership table and really focusing on the strategic aspects. So you have to know from an HR perspective, the business operations. You really need to understand what makes the business tick, what's the growth strategy, what is that going to look like, what's the trajectory for the next 1 year, 3 year, 5 years, so you can really be involved in that strategic aspect as far as the staffing and the people go. So we're constantly looking at where are we today? Do we have the right people in the right seats? And what do we need for the future? And how do we make sure that we have those tools to get those folks to that level? And what that looks like 3 years from now? And how many people do we hire from the outside? How many people do we develop from the inside? And really making sure that we have that employee engagement. Even though we're in the middle of a pandemic and unemployment seems to be ridiculously high, it's high in the areas that are more non-professional positions. So the professional market's still pretty tight. So part of our strategy in HR is making sure that we have that engagement with staff, that they're excited to come to work, that they know expectations, that there's accountability, that it's fun. I'm all about if you're not having fun, then that's going to be tough to show up to work every day. But making that environment be one in which people want to be there. And that's a huge reach. So we're always looking at HR as a marketing tool. And so HR is very, very much marketing involved. And that goes from everything from recruiting new talent and retaining your existing talent.
And explain that a little bit more. So in terms of how do you use it as a marketing tool?
Oh, sure. So I think in the old days, people used to think that, oh, candidates will just apply because we have a job that's open. So there are a lot of opportunities out there. So you have to be a place where people want to come to work. And so from a marketing aspect, it is getting your name out there in a unified format and front that really ties in with your business marketing to make sure that people really feel connected and they want to click on your website to find out more information about you. So you're always, from a college level standpoint, it is, you know, attending the job fairs, making sure that people know your name, that every website that you're on, whether it be Glassdoor, Indeed, LinkedIn, your own website itself, that it's engaging and enticing to people to say, huh, that's interesting. Let me explore a little bit further.
And you talk about how in the old days, that's something I'm curious to hear your insights is how you have seen HR change during your own career.
Oh, sure. So I've been doing HR for 32 years now. So it's gone through so much change. In the beginning, I would say it was more administrative and functional, where we hired in people, we processed their paperwork. We, you know, made sure that they got paid. If there was an employee issue, we addressed that. Whereas now, certainly we do all of that, but we've automated as much as we possibly can and continue to automate. And that's a challenge, you know, quite frankly, for smaller companies, because we don't always have access to those tools because of cost. Sometimes it's just too expensive. So, but we automate that, so that just becomes routine in nature. But over the years, that's where we've really seen HR grow to be more strategic and becoming more involved in all of the employee engagement, the culture of the organization. It's important to know that a lot of folks will come into this thinking, well, HR sets the culture. HR helps the culture, but culture is set by leadership, of which HR should be a part of. And that is very much a change from how that used to be when I first started working, where it was just more process driven. And now it's definitely much more strategic driven on how do we help grow the business through our people.
Can you talk a little bit more about the automation? So what are the ways that, well, the who of automating HR are smaller to medium-sized companies? Is that the case, or it's kind of an overall trend?
Oh yeah, everyone's automating HR. So, and you really should be, because again, it's those functions that are, they're not a lot of value add to it, but yet you want it to be seamless and easy for your staff to come on board. So, and the automation is everything from the recruiting process. So pretty much, I mean, I still have some exposure to some folks that use the email way of recruiting, where they only get resumes in through their email box, and then all of a sudden you've got 300 resumes and it's, holy crud, how do you manage?
That's what we do here.
It's mind blowing to me. So the applicant tracking system is the very first step. So the ATS, you'll hear it called that. So, and there's so many different programs out there, but if it can tie into your payroll, it's much sweeter because it just saves one more step. But all of my applicants and candidates come in through an ATS, and there's some things that you can do with that too, as far as automated questions, looking for keywords, putting them into categories. I have auto responses that are set up to all of the candidates, so you still have that touch and that feel. The challenge with that is that you have to make it feel real versus a computer automatically responding to everything. So it's, you know, a little bit more than thank you for your email. So that's a challenge with automation, quite frankly. But through the ATS system, then that can flow into your payroll. So you don't have an individual that's having to key in employee data, name, address, all of that kind of thing. So it just automatically flows over to your payroll system. And then we really look at our payroll systems for employees to be engaged in that process. So they enter their own tax information, direct deposit, whereas in the old days, we used to key in all that information. And a lot of people still do that. But if that can be streamlined and where you don't have to do that anymore, it just frees you up time for more important, more value added aspects. And then that goes all the way through to the performance management system. So there are some really great programs out there that can help manage performance reviews and that entire performance management process, which is more than just one time a year annual review. So reminders, goals, goal setting, peer reviews, that can all be managed electronically, where you get the reminders and the updates versus having to actually queue up the emails and send all of that out. So it's definitely helped. A lot of the larger organizations are using AI quite a bit, the artificial intelligence, and using that for candidates on basic questions. So they've got all of this data that's and information that's queued up so they can use an AI interface that's really helpful. Again, I think we just have to be careful as a human population that we don't get rid of that human touch too much and that we don't go too automated, because I think that's a problem. And I think we've all experienced that through COVID. We lost a lot of our personal touch through the whole quarantine and COVID situation. And we realized that how much we really crave that and need that interaction.
I find that fascinating. I may touch base with you later too, because I've got some follow-up questions.
Sure.
But in terms of here's one of them, small to medium-sized companies, would you say, what is the primary thing that they would benefit from automating, or the thing that really makes them less competitive, or would make them more competitive if they were to automate?
Oh, sure. So certainly from a time and error standpoint. So employees want to come on and they want to know that they're paid correctly, that everything flows like it should be. They don't want to have to worry about whether or not their 401k is going to be taken out of their check or anything along those lines. So from a small to mid-sized company, it's really going to save you time, because those size companies, they don't have huge teams. So a lot of times it's one, maybe two individuals that are trying to do HR, get people paid, get their benefits. So they don't have a lot of time. So it'll save them time, and it certainly saves down on the error ratio. For human, we all make mistakes. We make keying errors. Sometimes you don't find out about those until it's too late, and it's become a huge snowball issue that takes a lot more time to unravel than what you would prefer. So those are the two biggest areas that you can save. Plus, it makes it a smoother process for employees, that they feel like we've got it together, that we're not haphazard running around, because then you automatically think, ooh, if you can't get that right, how are we servicing our clients or our customers, or what's the impact of the message that we're sending to them? So employees' own personal experience relays on to whatever client or customer they're dealing with.
I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I'm curious, from the student's perspective, what advice would you give them to, I should probably talk in the microphone so you can hear me. Sorry about that. What advice would you give them to make themselves more marketable?
So certainly internships. If you can get an internship, that is absolutely helpful, especially in HR. There's not a ton of them, unfortunately. So you have to fight pretty hard for them. But that is so critical in that area. And if you can't get an internship, then see if you can partner up with someone that, even if you just work a couple of hours a week, just to get that exposure and that experience. But definitely be a member of SHRM if you're looking for an HR role. So that's the Society for Human Resources Management. There's just a ton of information that's out there. And a lot of it certainly is textbook. You can find policies and procedures and all of that. But you'll have information and access to the latest conversations that are taking place. The discussion boards can really help you gain that real life knowledge, which quite frankly is sometimes different than the schoolwork knowledge that you gain, with all due respect. but life's a little bit different on the other side of the fence when you really start, I know everyone hates this term, but when you really start adulting in your first job. So having that experience, if you're not able to grab an internship, a job, is definitely better than no job at some point in time, just because it gives the employer the mindset that you're willing to work. Some people take huge, heavy loads. My my daughter's at Moss State right now, and she's taking master's level along with undergrad level at the same time. It's a lot to deal with. But she has an internship as well. So that will help her gain a leg up when it's time for her to go look for a position. But really practice on your presentation skills. So your interviewing skills are critical. And you're going to be a nervous wreck when you first go out, especially for your first interview. So you got to get some of those under your belt sometimes. But if you have someone that your parents are friends with, or someone that you're comfortable with, I work with a lot of my friends, recent college grads, and interview them for real, and then give them on the spot feedback on just how they answered questions and how to frame their mindset, and you know, just personal mannerisms that people don't even know that they have. Don't play with your hair during an interview, male or female, makes no difference. Don't mess with your hair. Sounds crazy as you're doing it now.
Oh, you saw that. I forgot. It's my COVID haircut.
It's COVID. We don't have haircuts during COVID. But you know, take advantage of people who have interviewed before, and ask them if they would, you know, spare some time for you, and then make sure you follow up with a thank you note and, you know, a macaroon or a brownie or whatever. You know, it doesn't really matter.
I'm going to ask the students a question real quick. Do you get chances to practice interviewing? They don't have like a. They do. I'll poll you later, but I'm curious, maybe we can replace one of the projects with maybe do like a mock interview for you. Thank you for mentioning that, Janet.
The business program has a mock interview. So I think they do it in the spring in April. So, and it's usually open to the seniors. So if you're not familiar with that process, definitely become familiar with it, because usually, like, I was supposed to come last April, couldn't because of my schedule, but there are professionals that come in and will actually interview you during that time frame. But take advantage of that, and then get someone on your personal side to really help you out with that, because the more practice you have, the better off you'll come across during the interview process.
That's cool. Sorry, I have a question here. And we've a good number are not HR majors. But generally speaking, any advice you would give, things for them to, hold on, time out on that question. I need to ask one before it, just to establish a baseline here. Are there some companies that, whose culture is toxic? And do you have any experience, not necessarily yourself, but seeing, especially when you were a consultant, those companies?
Sure. Unfortunately, I do have personal experience, and it's tough. So you have to, first of all, take every experience, no matter how good or bad it is, and learn from it. The great experiences are awesome. Sometimes I don't think you learn as much from the good experiences as you do from the bad, because everything went smooth. So your lessons learned is a little easier. But my very first job out of Moss State at 23 years old, I worked for someone who told me that I would be evaluated on how well I lied to employees. And ethically, I was like, whoa, wait, are you kidding me? I mean, I'm only 23 and this is what the real world is all about. So it kind of freaked me out. And over the course of time, he was eventually released from the organization. So that environment during that year was eye-opening, but I had other individuals who really showed me a different path and became mentors. I worked at another organization where we were purchased. And when the company came in to purchase us, no lie, the very first thing they said was, well, you guys are stupid, so we're going to show you how it's done. And you know, after I picked my job off the floor, It was a challenge. They refused to really listen to any input that we had. I mean, we were a very successful organization, made a ton of money, and they just had it in their minds that they knew the best way. So they were a textbook example of what not to do. So that should be in your textbooks. I mean, I kid you not, it was that crazy. So, but even from that, as much as we tried to influence and engage and really change that mindset, they were pretty hard strong on that. So when I was offered the position to stay on board with them, ethically, culturally, it just wasn't an option for me. So that's when I went to consult, as a matter of fact. And unfortunately, that organization took a really hard tumble, ended up filing for bankruptcy, and ended up terming all of that leadership staff that initially bought the organization. And it took years to get the reputation back. And through the reputation was through no fault of the people here in St. Louis. I mean, that was a really solid group of people, but leadership had really destroyed the name. So now finally, you know, after it probably took them about 5 to 7 years to get their name back. Now they're a thriving organization and just so thrilled that my name was associated with the pre-purchase. But it's tough. But what I would say to anyone, if you're in that toxic situation, that sometimes you have to grin and bear it until you find another position. And I totally get that because people need income. But use it as a learning experience and figure out what not to do as in your own personal life and how you can try and counter that culture and then actively, you know, unfortunately look for a new position because it depends on how you are perceived and it depends on leadership. But explore those cultures before you take the job. So that is through your interviewing process, making sure you're asking a lot of those questions. Check out the online reviews. And I say that with a little word of caution because there are online reviews that are not accurate, where a disgruntled employee will set up multiple accounts and really bash someone on Glassdoor or Indeed. And those are a little tough to swallow from a company perspective because we know they're fake. But we have a hard time proving that, even though there's a method for doing that through Glassdoor in particular. But check out those reviews, because if you're seeing that same theme over the course of years, then you really need to think about, does that fit with my culture? Does that fit with my own personal ethics? And am I willing to be there for a period of time to make sure that I can get through that? And it is a little bit harder while the professional market's still pretty strong despite COVID. It is harder for new grads to find a position just because a lot of those newly created positions are on hold right now. But hopefully by the time you all graduate, that will not be the case anymore. And those hiring freezes will be lifted. But look at all of your resources, talk to people within the community about reputations and what you hear of, because I can rattle them off in St. Louis. And a lot of companies are changing. So, you know, be open to ideas, but know what you're getting into by doing your research, but take Glassdoor, you know, make sure you're really diving into that to make sure that the reviews aren't negatively posted just to make a point.
That's great. Thank you for that advice. Yeah, I thought that would be good to kind of give them some insight in terms of what they might, resources they might use to kind of spot any kind of red flags for a workplace that maybe doesn't fit one's own values. One thing I wanted to note on the experience you just shared is you said eventually over time, and at your first when you were 23, your first job, eventually over time he was released from the organization. You said something along those lines, and that made me think of some of my own experiences. And I wanted to emphasize for people listening that the word that stood out to me most when you said that was eventually, that there wasn't this sense of immediate karma, that these things tend to take time. And so I've learned myself that, you know, there's injustices in the workplace, but just usually over time, if you wait long enough, they'll sort themselves out.
Yep. And that's when you look to the leadership and you see how they behave and how they treat other individuals and are they really espousing the values that you have and where you want to be. And sometimes there is, you're going to stay at a role for a period of time to get that experience and move on. You know, there's a very prominent organization in St. Louis. I won't name any names by any means, but People know that they go to work there for about 2 years. They work their tail ends off. It is long hours, hard work, evenings, weekends. But after 2 years, you get some amazing experience. And then you can pretty much go where you want to go. But it's brutal. Those 2 years can be brutal.
Janet, I'm going to open it up to see if we have any questions from the audience. Is that okay?
Sure.
Do we have any questions? We have maybe time for two. Yeah. So what are some different options for human resources jobs for students or new graduates? Did I get that right? Yeah.
Okay.
Different types of jobs.
Yeah. So a lot of people, when they're coming straight out of school and going into HR for the first time, they start out in recruiting. So especially at larger organizations. And they will start through screening resumes, doing the first initial phone screens. Be prepared for everything from employee filing to screening hundreds of resumes. So some of it's not exactly glamorous, but it gives you the foundation for what you need to have to take the next step. So you'll do a lot of onboarding of employees, going through the paperwork to make sure that they have that all correct. And it depends on whether you go to a larger company or a smaller one. So I personally chose the smaller company route because I wanted the full exposure. So I'm kind of a grab it, soak it all in, dig in kind of individual. So I went to a company that had about 200 employees when I started and really got to touch everything from benefits to recruiting to 401k to employee relations, you name it, across the board. Whereas when you go to a larger company, then you'll go into one particular area. So you may go into benefits administration or HRIS, where you're actually managing the information systems of HR. But a lot of people get their entree in through recruiting, and then they do that for about a year or so, and then they can move more into the traditional parts of HR. It usually takes a while before people really get thrown into the employer relations side, just because you have to be a little more experienced and have some exposure to that. And a perfect example would be, and you'll get a kick out of the story, but the infamous phone call of what do we do with the warehouse employee who came in and literally licked every single cookie that was sent by a client to the customer service staff because they were mad that they didn't get cookies and the customer service team did. So she literally licked every cookie. And I'm like, I had to laugh because I'm like, are you kidding me? I mean, do people really do this? And yeah, they do that. So just FYI, she was termed. She was terminated. So can't quite lick cookies and put them back on a tray. But those are the crazy things that you get to deal with sometimes in HR. They're unique. They're different. I could write a book on how crazy some people can be. But you can pretty much count on starting out either specializing in one area if you go to a large company, or if you're in a smaller company, a little bit of recruiting, a little bit of HRIS, a little bit of benefits administration, and then getting your feet wet and going in there. It is tough, I think, for a new grad that's going into HR to go into a small organization and be the only HR department. You just don't have that knowledge and experience yet, and you kind of you stumble. It's a tough way to start your career if you don't have someone to work with to help show you the ropes.
Thank you. Any other questions? Probably do one more. What's the most painful part of your job?
Most painful part. Painful and can sometimes be gratifying. Painful part would be people that are really reluctant to do their jobs. They find ways to skirt the system. They are smarter than, Let me put it this way. If they put their intelligence to use on really being productive, then they would be amazing and incredible. But unfortunately, they put their intelligence to use on how to get away with things. So that's probably the most painful part of my job, because it's tough for me to deal with folks that are willingly not willing to do their jobs, and then working through that process. And as you said, eventually karma lands, but it takes some time. So there are times that we just have to follow some rules and some guidelines, and that's frustrating for me. But fortunately, that's a really small percentage.
Oh, okay. What do you do to handle that?
We go through the corrective action process, and a lot of them know how to walk the line. So they do just enough to get their job done and not be on that borderline of terminating, but not enough to really be productive. And usually those are the individuals that are really causing a stir within the office. So that makes it a little bit more challenging, but we go through the corrective action process, and that can be time consuming.
That's interesting. Well, Janet, thank you so much. This was fantastic.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this is super helpful. I'm gonna post this for the other section, as well as the students who couldn't join us today. And do you mind if I'm going to end the recording first?
Okay.
Would you mind if I...